Thanks for listening to the Gregor Show podcast. Are you looking for something unique? Lakewood has a large selection of special edition trucks by Chevrolet. Life is too short not to be special. Learn more at lakewoodchev.com. Let's get to the Rashog Report, brought to you by Auto City Edmonton, St. Albert Trail, and 131st Avenue. You need a car? You need a truck? You need a van, an SUV? Previously owned vehicles, they have them. Great quality. Check it out at AutoCityEdmonton.com. Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Will the Oilers score 7 goals tomorrow night?
I don't know, but their offense isn't quite as consistent and reliable as your listeners. I do have to say that. Holy smokes.
Yeah, they're great, man.
They killed that charity cause today. That was unbelievable. Would that take you like 5 minutes?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, our listeners are awesome. We have a lot of listeners who want to help out, and sometimes they don't need to go, so we just put them in the right direction. And you know what the other thing is? They like to donate, but they also love the fun of the draw, I find.
Yeah.
They're just like, I just want to put my money just for the chance to win. So it's great.
Right on. So will they score 7? No, they're not going to score 7, but I think they're going to be able to beat an opponent that they should beat. They're up and running again. They got the engine going. And, you know, Todd McClellan said earlier on that he hated the breaks. And now that they've gotten through those breaks and been playing more consistently, they're basically rolling it every second day now, and they've got their game tuned up. So they've got a goalie who plays better when he plays more, and they've got a team that plays better when they play more. And that's so good heading down the stretch and into the playoffs, where you basically have to play every second game. They've got it rolling. They got it dialed in right now.
What did you like most about the first period?
What did I like most about the first period? They scored some nice goals. Like there were some nice plays that were made, and some high end skill was on display, and like they made some really nice plays. So that was impressive. But I really liked the fact that when Dallas started to get grumpy and the temperature of the game went up, that the Oilers were just fine in that situation and handled themselves really well. And that's just it's so different than what we've watched in past years. So I like the fact that they just and maybe this is getting out of the first period, but like with 5 or 6 minutes left on the clock, and you got Cassian running around out there just playing intense, hard-hitting hockey. Like, he's just dialed in. They were, a little bit robot-like in their consistency and their demeanor, and I liked it.
Anton Slepyshev, he's only 22 years of age, and, man, when he's on, he can really add something to a line, and now the focus for him will be, like it took Tyler Pitlick a few years to figure it out, is just to bring that on a regular basis.
Well, yeah, I mean, on any given night, Slepyshev has a skill set that you could throw him next to McDavid, and he could give you a game for sure. And I know a lot of people have been calling for a long time for them to put Slepyshev there. The problem with him is that it's similar to what you see in Kara. It's similar to what you see, what you saw in Pitlick in his first couple of years trying to break in. Any one of them can summon that skill and that courage for one game and go out and do something special. They're good, skilled players and pretty high draft picks. But it's consistency, and it's being able to do, like, when they're not at their best, where are they? And the problem for Slepyshev is when he's not at his best, he falls off the face of the earth. He doesn't just go a little quietish. He's not noticeable at all. So he needs to bring a higher level more consistently to put himself in position to give the coach no choice but to put him into those other positions on that third or that second line or that first line if he ever gets a look next to McDavid. You have to bring it consistently. And until he can do that and bring his base level of play up a little higher, then I know people are desperate to say, okay, he's in the lineup now every game no matter what, because he's played really good for 2 games. No, he needs to play really good for 4 out of 5 games. And so what he's bought himself is a little bit of the coach's trust. He could have maybe a bit of an off game tomorrow where he's not as noticeable, probably still gets back in. You go quiet for more than a game or two, and you lose your place at the dinner table. And that's the way it has to be for young depth players.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Moving forward, Ryan, this third line that has emerged recently for the Edmonton Oilers. Benoit Pouliot obviously has a lot of confidence. Zach Cassian's been consistent all year. And David Desharnais producing all his points at even strength. To me, that's the key. It's not like you say, oh, look at Desharnais has 4 points, but some of them come in the power play. All of them have come at even strength, which is huge for this team.
Yeah, for sure. I had a long talk with Renaud Lavoie from RDS and TVA out in Montreal. And he covered Desharnais for basically his whole stay there. And, you know, one of the things he said was that of all the players that he covered in Montreal, Desharnais' hockey sense was really, really high. He was very, very smart with the puck. That he's not going to be a guy that, blitzes around a ton out there, but he makes really smart plays with the puck. And he doesn't need a lot of time to make those smart plays. And I think we're seeing that. And I think that's what separates him a little bit from a player like Mark Letestu 5-on-5. The Oilers weren't comfortable with Mark Letestu 5-on-5 in their third center spot. They just weren't. They felt they needed a different type of player. Now, he's obviously still really valuable. He's playing on their top unit power play and is their best face-off guy and gets decent minutes, but he's a perfect fit as a fourth-line center. Now, Desharnais comes in having played up higher in lineups. He's been a first-line center, a second-line center before. He makes smart plays with the puck. He makes heady plays. It's not very often where he just throws it away or where the play dies on his stick. He's not as effective as he used to be, but he's responsible. And I think that's important because, you know, in a playoff stretch, in a tough playoff drive or in a series, having his veteran presence in there instead of a young guy that might have the jitters, I think that makes a big difference for them. And I think it's improved their lineup. He's putting up points 5-on-5, to your point. And really, the wingers are the ones that are truly driving the line, but it's not stalling with him.
No, not at all. And his quickness, the other thing is just, you watch experience of veterans. And to me, when I'm watching now, it's the small little plays at times. Like last night, I thought Drake Kajula had a really good game. Right.
Yep.
There was one sequence, though, where you see rookies and they have the puck and he's 5 feet from the offensive line, the blue line, and he just throws it away blindly and they keep it in. Veterans don't do that. Right. And in the playoffs, sadly, those type of plays get magnified tenfold.
Yeah, for sure. And like I just said, there's this responsibility, this experience in Desharnais' game that rather than have a Kajula or a Kara or somebody, even at the fourth line center spot, in position to be making those kinds of mistakes. Instead, they insulate with a veteran guy that who's maybe his best days are on the other side of him, but can still play the game, but will make those heady plays. And will, you know, if Cassian and Pouliot get their, you know, have their legs going and they're going and they're feeling it, they just need a guy that can keep the cycle going, that can make the smart play, not have the play die with him. And Desharnais so far has been a player that doesn't have the play die on his stick a lot. He generally can continue plays and keep them alive. And it just added a little bit more of a veteran presence than what they were facing heading to the playoffs without a player like that.
The Oilers have 12 games left against the West, and they've improved significantly, of course, at 23-9-6. Thus far, they only play 5 teams down the stretch. They play Vancouver 3 times starting Saturday. They play the Kings 3 times. That's on Monday. They got the Ducks twice. They got the Sharks twice. And they got the league's worst team, the Colorado Avalanche, twice. 7 wins. Is that kind of the number you think that's realistic for this team, or 8?
Well, I mean, listen, you got to get the games against the Avs, right? I mean, the Canucks are not in the fray here at all. You got to think they're going to they probably pull 3 points out of the 6 games against LA. I mean, I could see those teams splitting that. I don't think LA is going to roll over for them. So 7 might be on the, it might be 7-8 in that range. But I mean, I think given that schedule, they could probably aim a little bit higher than that. You know, I think they can probably aim to better that a little bit if they take care of business against the teams that they're trailing. 3 against Vancouver still?
Yeah, 3 against the Canucks. And early reports are they might get Bachman Turner overdrive in between the pipes tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, you got to pull 4 points out of those 3 games against the Canucks, like at least. So, I mean, we'll see. Anybody can beat anybody on any given night. But the way the Oilers are going, the fact that their schedule just allows them to keep rolling right along, I think they could probably aim a little bit higher than that. The games against LA will be the interesting ones, where they're just right head to head against a team that I think. And when is there? How long until they play LA? Like, LA's
Monday.
Got some fight left in them still. Yeah, that's so. I mean, those games will still be very meaningful for the Kings.
Well, you look, honestly, the Orders win on Saturday and they defeat the Kings on Monday. To me, like, I don't think the Kings are catching Orders anyway, but they win those two games and the Kings lose. Now that would put the, and that's if, let's say, even best case scenario for LA, they win in Calgary on Sunday night. That would put the Kings 10 points back with 10 games to go. They're done.
Of the Orders, you mean?
Yes.
Right.
But yeah, St. Louis is the team. Yeah, no, I meant done for the, like, anybody leery of the Orders. No, the Kings are battling to St. Louis, 100%.
Right, and that's my, yeah, and that's as much my point as anything, is that whether it's head-to-head against the Orders, and they can help themselves by winning those games, but you're playing against a Kings team that is desperate to get to squeeze in, and they're chasing down St. Louis. Those games will be huge for them. And that'll be a real good test for the Orders against a veteran team clawing for its life. And so, yeah, there's some real good tests in there for them, but it's not a dangerous schedule, I would say, looking at the opponents.
No, the key for the Orders will be, and I know, hey, do they have a letdown? I kind of sense from how they played, like, they jumped all over Boston early, just like they did Dallas. And it wasn't like they just got one goal. It's like, man, they kept coming and coming. And while Boston, give them credit, they didn't sit back. My one concern will be, Ryan, the penalty kill. Can't, like, the Orders' penalty kill is now under 80% on the season. I know it was 5-on-3 goals last night, and great shots, by the way, especially Krejci's shot. Like, to me, there's not much you can do about that. However, since January 1st, it's the worst penalty kill in the league. Can they get a turnaround? What are you seeing when you watch the penalty kill that's not there?
Yeah, a little bit of head on a swivel stuff, a little bit of looking around, making sure you're kind of shoulder checking. I mean, they're getting kind of beat in behind a little bit. Yeah, that's tough. I mean, they've got the similar guys that have been doing it all year. It's not like the units have changed around a whole bunch. So I honestly don't have a real good answer for you. I just think that it's one of those things where they pre-scouts are going to be critical, really breaking down the other team's power plays and figuring out how to best match up against them, how to best prepare for the look that they're going to get. But they have veteran players killing the bulk of their penalties, so I don't really have a great answer for why. It definitely needs to improve, though. I mean, special teams, especially as you get into the playoffs, like, those, they're so critical. And if their penalty kill is garbage, their power play is going to have to be so good to make up for it, and it's probably not going to be doable. So definitely an issue. They need to get it sorted out, but you know, I think they're on it. I know Todd McClellan has put a big focus on it, and he's talked about it a number of times, so we'll see if they can get her tracked.
Yeah, it's, you know, save percentage is one thing for sure. I find they're a little, and you can see they don't really have confidence in their penalty kill. When you watch them, there's that slight hesitation, and against good power plays, they're just getting crushed.
Yeah, well, and guys just maybe a little slow to get into the shooting lanes, getting beat through the middle of the ice a lot. Like, the good penalty kills out there, they'll never allow a pass east to west through the middle of the ice, down below coverage. I mean, that's like the cardinal sin of penalty killing, is allowing the puck to go below coverage right all the way across the ice. Those mistakes, and those are happening fairly regularly against the Orders, that cross-ice pass, and it just means everybody needs to shift, and you end up chasing it around a little bit. So the good power play is moving around quickly on the Oilers, like, really quickly, and get them a little bit disjointed, and then they strike.
What do you think of David Pastrnak?
Yeah, really impressive. And talking to Todd Marchand yesterday about him, he said, oh, I just give him the puck, and he goes end-to-end every night. Like, he's just blown away by his skill level. I mean, you can tell the one-timer is he's just got it loaded all the time. He wants to use it. He's got a real good shot, fast. One of the hidden gems, I would say, of the NHL, and in particular this season, pushing, you know, 30-plus goals now, 20 years old. Just a real good, solid young player. And he and Marchand give them a 1-2 punch for a long time. Real good player. Oh. Todd McClellan was talking about him today a little bit too, and man, they're just—he's just such an impressive young guy. We don't see him much.
No,
but, he's a little hidden out there.
Very hidden out there. And I think with Marchand's 36 goals, this kid's got 31 goals. already. And man, I was watching him and his puck handling abilities, and man, does he ever shoot the puck?
And he can skate. Yeah. Like, he's fast.
Yeah, and it's funny. He was about $165 when he got drafted, and now he's just filled out. He's closer to $195, and he uses a little bit of a longer stick than some players, but man, I like how he skates. He's a little bit more upright than others, and he's killing it.
Well, he played really young, too. I remember Julian had him in there. I think he was pretty much 18, wasn't he, when he got his first look?
Yeah.
And I remember it sort of felt like he was a little too slight and a little too much, a little too soon, maybe. And it's taken him a little bit of time, but he's just awesome here. It's funny, confidence, right, for those players. They're drafted where they're drafted because of their skill, and there's no denying their skill. And the difference often for them is if they get on a little bit of a confidence wave, they catch something positive happens in early days, and then they're just rolling. And, like Puljujärvi, for example, there weren't a lot of things that happened one after the other that gave them that real confidence wave. And so you need to find that somewhere else. And maybe that's just the difference for some players, is they have a couple of good things happen early on, and their confidence gets kicked up a little bit, and they just have a little bit different swagger, and they're able to push through and continue to have success. Whereas other guys, if good things don't happen early, doesn't mean they're not going to happen later. It's just timing and confidence. And so Pasternak's got his timing and his confidence going.
For fun, Ryan, Brad Marchand, Connor McDavid. Now, McDavid does have a game in hand in the race for the Art Ross. Does McDavid win the Art Ross?
Yeah, I'm going to say he does. I think he will. I think that I think he's going real good right now. I think he's the way the schedule sets up for the Oilers. I think they got a good chance to put up some good numbers against some of these weaker teams. The line's going good. Maroon's feeling it. Yeah, I think Connor does push through and win it. I think he wins it by a couple of points and finishes ahead of everybody else.
Does Marchand win the Maurice Richard Trophy?
Yeah, where's he at? What's his lead?
He is up now.
37 now?
He's two up in the goal scoring department.
Yeah. Yeah. And
two up on Crosby, three up on Tarasenko, who's on fire, and then Malkin, Pacioretty, and Patrick Laine.
Yeah. I don't know if he'll be able to hang on. I'm not sure. I think one of those other guys maybe pulls a little bit ahead of him. I mean he's on an unbelievable pace. And just
27 goals in 30 games. Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. But Sid went on a run like that early this season too, didn't he? Just some crazy goal pace that he wasn't able to keep up.
Yeah, I don't even think Sid though scored 27 and 30. I got to go back and look. I don't think it was that much. Like this is a ridiculous one. I thought Malkin might have won it, but now Malkin's injured, so you got to take him out. And Tarasenko might be the best pure shooter of all the guys in there. And St. Louis has the easiest schedule, so I think it's going to be either Tarasenko or Marchand.
Yeah. And I wonder what the number will end up being. I don't think we'll have a 50-goal score.
No, I'd love it, though, but highly doubtful at this point.
It's funny, it's just so rare in the game now. Hey, anybody able to get to 50?
Yeah, it is. It's brutal.
Too bad.
It sucks. But hopefully Laine gets to 50, and some of the young kids coming in get 50 and 100-plus points moving forward. That'd be great.
Yeah, for sure.
Shogger, have a good weekend.
Okay, buddy, you too. We'll talk Monday.
Ryan Rashog from TSN.